these guys asked me, they said, did you do all this? And I was thinking to myself, I was like, I think you already know the answer to that. And it was like, they were like, yeah, like the scene, like Elf, Buddy the Elf. Like, he's just here, like, oh, I've been here since 4 in the morning. Just for you guys so you can enjoy. But doesn't that look awesome? They did spend a ton of work, and I'll just be really, really honest with you. That's awesome. I didn't touch a single one of them. And I think that was on purpose, keep me out of the mix. But, hey, you ever notice the lengths that people will go to these days for supposed health benefits, you know? And we like to try the things, like, we like, you know, a lot of experimentation, and there's always, like, some science behind some new thing. I could go through the list, and some of them are super funny and interesting. Some of them actually have a lot of merit, but I just want to talk about one today that it's been around for a long time, but it seems like just recently it's becoming like more of a common thing, and that is the ice bath, the cold shower, the cold plunge, whatever you want to call it. And I thought it was basically, you know, all along just for crazy people or professional athletes. That's it. That's like, but lately I've been talking to like a lot of my friends and they're doing it and they're like, talking about like how awesome this is, and I can't get my head around the awesomeness. You know, just not really. I feel like I'm more of a bubble bath, hot bath kind of guy. You know, not really. I don't do bubble bath, but at least a hot shower. You know, like it's like I like the shower to be like I'm smelling flesh. Like that's like my kind of shower. Like that's my kind of. I'm gonna find a science report that says something really good about that. I'm sure it's out there if you want to send them to me this week. That'd be awesome. But a couple weeks ago, Rob is talking to me. I have several friends that actually have one of these cold plunges, and they jump in there first thing in the morning, like, you know, strip down, ice, like, right in the cold. And I'm like, that takes a lot of mental toughness, you know? And then Rob's talking about it. He's like, yeah, he's like, I didn't even spend the money on, like, the real deal. I just got, like, a big, you know, trough, and I just threw it in my yard. He did it the country way, you know, the way they've been doing it for centuries, and just throw some ice in there. And so as he's talking to me about this and all the benefits, I guess I accidentally gave him the impression that I was interested. Like, I was like, because he's like, hey, he's sending me pictures all this week. He's like, look, nice and icy today. Like one day he had literally broken the ice off the top of the water. It was like, perfect day, you know, come on by. And I'm like, thankfully, every time he messaged me, I was busy, like legitimately. And so finally, I was like, you know what the heck? He asked me 3 times, and I'm like, all right, I'll try it. And so I go over to his house. He does it first, and when I watch him do it, I'm like, you are in no way convincing me that this is going to be a good time. Like, I'm like, this is not fun. And I hesitate to even show you this because it makes me look like a wuss. But I'll show you just a quick clip of my first experience with an ice bath.
One bath.
So it's really warm, like totally wet. It's so warm, Dad. Isn't it so warm?
Woo! Neck deep.
I love this.
Shoulders in.
Big iron.
I lasted for 3 minutes, and I was literally the whole time like, "Dude, where are we at on the clock? Like, come on, you said 3 minutes, like." And it did not get easier, like, the whole time I was in there. And you heard all the hecklers. They're all like, it's really warm. I'm like, y'all aren't in it, you know? So, like, just keep your comments to yourself. And so Rob asked me afterwards, like, so what did you think? I was like, well, it was a great time if you love torture. And we'll see. Maybe I'll do it again. I actually strangely gravitate to things like that. So we will see. And there actually are really great health benefits. Not that I'm going to talk you into it, but I won't go over them. But it is interesting, right? Like, we're interested in vitality. We're interested in health. We're interested in the things that we can do to maybe, you know, make our life longer or just more desirable or whatever it might be. And you know, there's all kinds of things that we can look to for this. And so this series, what we've been doing is we've been looking at the gift of Jesus. We're really looking at the gifts that were brought to Jesus. But in looking at the gifts that were brought to Jesus, what we're really looking to is Jesus and how he is the ultimate gift. And what I find is that just as much as we're always looking for kind of physical health benefits, supposed or not, we do the same thing when it comes to what's going on inside. We do the same thing when it comes to kind of finding that relief or that escape or that fix, that thing that is going to solve this internal problem that we all have, right? Call it whatever you want, but we all know, if we've been around the earth, you know, spun around the earth once or twice, we know that there is an emptiness here. There is an emptiness, and I believe that the only real remedy to that emptiness is the person of Jesus. And that's what we've been talking about, is how he meets our greatest need, and specifically today, talking about how he meets that spiritual need. Because when it comes to the thing that is really going to heal what ails us, the only real remedy, does not come on a drugstore shelf. It isn't found in a fad or a trend. It isn't some technique we find in a self-help book, as helpful as it might be. There is no human solution for the human problem. There is no human solution for the human problem. And that's what makes the divinity of Christ, which really frankincense represents, so important. Only a divine cure ails the human condition. And so we're going to spend a little time talking about that today. And I love what it says in Luke 2, 10 through 12. It's one of those familiar Christmas passages. It says, "Do not be afraid." This is the words of the angels. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." A Savior has been born to you. A Savior has been born to me. The only all-sufficient Savior, the only real remedy, the Messiah, the Lord. And it's our vitality is found solely in the divinity of Jesus. The person that came to us, both fully God, fully human, has the ability to help us to receive all that we were meant to receive and experience all that we were meant to experience, both in this life and eternally. And so last week we began this discussion a little bit about these magi that came, these three kings, whatever you want to call them. There's actually no historical evidence that they were three of them. There was probably a great group of them that came. But these three gifts were really representative of something. And frankincense was this white resin or gum from a tree. It has this like strong scent. Some of you maybe have it in like an oil form, or it's often used in aromatherapy today. It was used in the ancient Near East, though, in the temple for worship. And it was this picture of God's holiness, his righteousness. And it really was symbolic of Christ's divinity. And it was the Magi recognized when they brought this gift to Jesus that Jesus was divine. And so there was this picture of his divinity. It was also used in the burnt offerings in the temple. The gift of frankincense to the Christ child was symbolic of his willingness to become a sacrifice, wholly giving himself up, analogous to a burnt offering. So the offerings of old were only held temporary power to atone and cleanse. And at the end of the day, what we know is, once again, that there is no human solution to the human problem. There's only a divine solution, and so God, once and for all, sent his Son to the earth that we might experience all that we were meant to experience, the fullness of vitality through Jesus and Jesus alone. Hebrews 10:10, "And by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once and for all." That means being made holy, being made whole through Jesus and Jesus alone. And I thought about this as we were getting into this series, that there's such irony to the fact that here the Magi were, and they were bringing these gifts in hand. And the irony of it is that anything that they could bring to Jesus paled infinitely in comparison to all he would give the world to you and to me. And so let's spend a little bit of time unwrapping the beauty of this gift and what it means to you and me, and what it specifically means to our vitality, the vitality that comes through Christ's divinity. Here's the first thing that we find in Jesus that we can't find anywhere else, and that is this, that he is the real remedy for the human condition. Matthew 1:20 through 23 says, "An angel of the Lord appeared," this is to Joseph, and this is after, as Joseph is first getting exposed to all that is about to happen and how his life is about to be turned upside down and how the world is about to be turned upside down. It says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid." And so this is after he's already received the news about Mary, to which causes a lot of confusion and angst and uncertainty, as you can imagine. And so he's trying to do the right thing. He's like, I'm going to divorce her quietly, which is in those times, it's like if you were engaged, you had to go through a process of divorce. So he's like, I'm going to go through this process to still honor her. But clearly there's a problem here, and because I was not involved in this baby coming about. And so he's going to try to do the right thing. And the angel comes and says, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that is, friends, what God wants for you and for I. He wants to save us. But we have to want the salvation that he brings. We have to invite it. We have to allow him in to do the work that he wants to do in us. He's not going to force his vitality and his divinity upon us. We are only to receive it if we take hold of it, if we invite it in. And so God wants that for you, though. He wants to bring healing about. He wants to restore us starting from the inside. But we have to invite him in. We have to allow him space to room, the room to work within our lives. You guys know, I share lots of stories of Jude. He has no shortage of stories, even just from this weekend that I could share. But I was telling this story to the Abide group this past week, and I was just talking about how, you know, three-year-olds, how much fun three-year-olds, he's now four, can be. They're a really good time, and they also can really, like, put you in your place in a second. Like, I don't know how many times Jude's just kicked me off his team. Like, I just keep getting kicked off his team. He's like, you're not on my team anymore. And, like, when I tell him something, he's like, you're not on my team. So I'm getting kicked off. Have you ever been kicked off of a three-year-old's team? Like, that hurts and doesn't feel great. A whole nother level of rejection. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, there's he, if you know Jude, he is just always full of noise and energy. And so if there's ever a moment in our house where there's not, like, an abundance of noise surrounding him, I'm like, there is a problem, like, right away. And I was home with him one day, and I didn't hear something for a while. I was like, uh-oh, like, where is he? And so I go, and I walk up to his room. It's actually kind of toward the tail end of the day. We're winding down, kind of heading into bedtime mode. But he's just nowhere to be found. And then I knock on his door in his room, and his response was, don't come in. Like, okay, all right, now I'm really worried, you know? And so I'm like, buddy, I'm coming in. And I come in, and he's just got, like, a fistful of snacks, and he's, like, shoving them into his mouth as fast as he possibly can, like cookies and everything else. He knows, like, can't just go grab cookies on your own. He also knows he's not supposed to have them at that time of night, like, right before bed. And so as he sees my reaction, he goes, I didn't want you to come in because I was eating these things. But he's real straightforward, right? I have to appreciate that. And yeah, because you're not supposed to. And I just kind of was trying to explain to him as if I'm going to get through in this moment. Like, now, buddy, that was dishonest. And we're not supposed to, be dishonest. Daddy wants to try. Like, we're going through this whole thing. As I'm going through, like, I'm seeing his, like, he's kind of got this perplexed look on his face. And, like, and then all of a sudden, like, clicks. And he's like, he grabs my hand and he walks me over and he opens his top drawer full of snacks. He's like, completely comes clean. He's like, here it is. Here's my stash, Dad. Like, I'm going to let you in on my little secret. I'm going to fully let you in. And but that is our tendency, right? We have this tendency to hide out because we don't want to be found out. We're just not that honest about it usually. Like, I didn't want you to come in, God, because... But we know it, and he knows, right? He already knows there's something going on. He already knows the extent of what's going on, and that should be a relief to us because it's not going to surprise him when we say, God, if you only knew the depths of what's going on inside of me. And he knows all of it. He still wants to bring about healing for your life. But we continue to hide out. We sung this song this past week, and I just loved it, and I've been playing it a lot since, but we sung it the night that I was sharing it, Abide, and It was basically like this song, like, come up, come and take up residence. It was kind of a call to God that we want to make space for you, we want to make room for you. And I just asked the group after we sung that song, and I had shared this part of the story. I said, I heard you singing that, but do you mean it? Do you mean it? Because God doesn't want to just move into the spare bedroom, right? He wants full access to our life, and that's important because if we don't give him full access to our life, and I'm even talking about that room in the back. You're like, nobody goes in there. That's where I stuff all of my junk. Like, that's where all the junk goes. The door is shut. It's like, I'm not inviting him in there. But he already knows what's in there. And if only we would allow ourselves to experience the healing and sanctifying power that only God himself could bring, if we would simply say, Lord, come in. Lord, come in. What's the alternative? Keep justifying. Is it really sin, though? Is it? Keep minimizing? Well, in comparison to this person or this person or what they got going on, small. It's small by comparison. We keep normalizing. Well, everybody else does this. It's really not that big of a deal. And we keep hiding out from God and from others. Well, what aren't you doing when you're hiding, justifying, minimizing, and normalizing? What you're not doing is the thing that will bring healing and vitality to you, and that's repenting. Lord, come in. You see it, and I'm sorry. Here it is. I want you to have it all. I want you to take it all. I want to make space for you. I want to make room for you. And God is the only real remedy for the human condition. We all have that sin buried in our life, and he wants to come and cleanse us of those things. And it's a lifelong deal. We talk about the repetition of repentance. It's over and over again. It's daily. We have to be in the habit of repenting faster and faster to say, all right, God, there's some stuff building up in that room again. Come, would you take it out of there before it becomes a problem? So he is, Jesus, the real remedy to the human condition. He is the fullness of truth to counteract the lies. I love in Romans what we see Paul giving this description of a mind, heart, and life that is not anchored in the truth. Read Romans 1 sometime. I'm not going to go through all of it. But here's just some lines that come out of it. And it's really speaking to humanity. It's speaking to all of us if we allow it. You might read Romans 1 and you might think about, yeah, that's the world. That's all the people that I encounter every day. But it's really meant to be like raise up a mirror to us and say, all right, what about me? And here's what it says about them. Though they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They were darkened in their understanding. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. Since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind. You see, without any intervention, this is the natural outworking of our humanity. But it doesn't have to be this way because God sent Jesus as a light in the darkness. John 1, 9 through 14 confirms this truth. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word, Jesus, became flesh. He made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I love what Matthew 4, 16 through 17 says about this. A people living in darkness have seen a great light. The people living in great darkness have seen a light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time on, we read that Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's repentance. It's truth that God uses to bring about vitality in our life. The Word, written, the Scripture, and embodied, Christ himself, is the complete dose of truth to combat the enemy's lies. Have you ever been there? And I think about the analogy, sometimes when I'm speaking with people and sometimes as I'm counseling people, and it's easy to see when you're on this side of the counseling table to see the kinds of things that people are allowing themselves to get tangled up in. It's a lot easier to see that, man, it's like thorns as we get kind of caught up in some sin. It seems like the harder we try to fight our own way out of it, the more that it just rips into our skin. It ties. If you ever really been stuck in some briars, you know the more that you fight, the more you get them on you. And it's hard to get pulled out of that. You need somebody to help get you out of that position if you've ever been stuck in it, unless you want to come out really, really bloody. And I think about this analogy because the same is true when it comes to our sin. The same is true when it comes to the lies that the enemy likes to kind of wrap around us and entangle us in. And he just has to say it once, and then our mind does the rest. Like, we allow ourselves to be fooled by the things of the enemy, and we allow this cycle to continue on. And the only thing that really allows us to become entangled is allowing Jesus, via the truth, to speak life into us. And that might not be an all-at-once moment. It might be a moment where somebody says something and it finally clicks. I remember some struggles that I had not too long ago, and specifically with just some lies that I was allowing to continue to perpetuate themselves. And if you know Caroline, and I've shared often what a good friend she's been to me, and she's really good, and maybe you've had an interaction like this, she's really good to know when something isn't right, and just give you the opportunity to, like, that to come out. And I just, like, I overshare with her sometimes because of that. Like, she's opening herself up to hear, and she becomes this safe place. And so I told her about some of the stuff that I was, you know, kind of running through my mind and the way I was getting tangled up. And I just had this line, and I was like, I just want to be free of it all. I want to be free of it all. And she just looks me square in the face, and she says this line that still comes back to me over and over again today. She says, "You are already free. You are already free." And why was that such a powerful statement? Because she was speaking the truth. She was a truth speaker in that moment. She was untangling some of those lies. And that truth that she was speaking comes from Ephesians 1:7. We have been set free because of what Christ Jesus has done. Through his blood, our sins have been forgiven. We have been set free because God's grace is so rich. Notice how little it says about me and my power to untangle the lies. It is through him and his power. And so my challenge to you, if you really want vitality, spiritual vitality, we need to be truth seekers. And then we need to also be truth speakers, because we believe that it is the truth that sets us free, as the scripture says. So Jesus is the embodiment of truth. He is the word of truth, both living and written. He is the source of true peace amidst our pain. And by the way, that doesn't always mean that he just takes away our pain, if you've been there, right? Sometimes that prayer to just take it away is only met with, "I'm not taking it away, but I'm right here with you." And we will bring out purpose in the middle of it. You know, we talk about this idea of peace on earth, and I like that song we just sung, because some of you are thinking, "I like peace on earth, but I would just settle for some peace in me. I would just settle for a little peace in me right now." Some of you might be facing what St. John of the Cross referred to as the long, dark night of the soul. And it doesn't make sense, but it's just like you've just been in that place. And I love in the conversation about where Paul is having with the Lord, and he's continuing to pray for him. And we don't know what is the issue, what kind of suffering, what kind of pain. Was it a sin thing? The bottom line is, he was praying for something to be taken away, and the Lord's response was, "My grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." The key is not possessing more strength, it's knowing the source of our strength and continuing to pursue the source of our strength, so that even through our weaknesses, his strength can shine through. And it is most profound in our weaknesses. And many of you have those stories where you've seen that play out. Only Christianity has a God, though, that himself knows every level of suffering that we could possibly imagine. And if you are somebody that is in a dark season, you want somebody that's actually going to be able to relate to you. as much as there's other well-meaning friends that come around you, there are times when you look at somebody and they're like, they do not get it. They love me, but they do not get what I'm talking about. Jesus is not that kind of friend. I mean, he suffered on every level, mental, emotional, relational, as he faced rejection of his friends. We see him, and he's having this such a moment of anguish. There's literally blood coming down his brow prior to him going to the cross. I mean, talk about the immense weight of having to walk into that, knowing all that you would face. Hold the sin of the world on your shoulders, and in a breath say, my God, why have you forsaken me? To repeat the words of David in the Psalms. What he's saying is, listen, I get it. I've been there. I've gone before you. And so this is something that actually provides us a little peace in the pain, is knowing that you have a God who understands you. You have a God that empathizes with you in your weakness. And so Jesus is the source of true peace amidst our pain. He is the eternal cure for the hopeless soul. Best word in the New Testament, in my humble opinion. Best word in the whole New Testament. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. Anybody know what that means? It is finished. You know who said it? Jesus. Last breath on planet Earth. It is finished. And he wasn't just talking about what was happening that day. He was talking about the climax of all of human history. When Jesus, through what he accomplished, through his sacrifice on the cross, became a sacrifice once and for all for you and me. And as a reminder of the fact that in Jesus, our debt has been paid, our sin has been washed clean, our relationship with God has been restored, our victory has been claimed, our destiny has been secured by and only by the blood of Jesus. As a reminder of that, I want to offer a little kind of repeat and respond kind of deal. In fact, I was thinking it would be really cool if we kind of, among brothers and sisters in Christ, had something like this. You know how kind of like Jeep people got their little like wave? They're like, you know, they got, and then the duck thing, whatever that is, you know? Like Ohio State people, they got like the O-H. Yeah, that kind of stuff. You know, it's like we have these kind of things that bind us together. And here's one for us. When Jesus said it's finished, he was declaring that your debt has been paid, your sin has been washed clean. He is declaring that, all past tense, your relationship with God has been restored. Victory has been claimed. Your destiny, your eternal destiny has been secured. And so we can hope and trust in that, that regardless of what happens to us here and now, our hope is secured in heaven. By and only by the blood of Jesus. So in light of that, I want to say, it is finished, and your response be, thanks be to God, okay? It is finished. Okay, we got to do better than that. It is finished. Amen. So now when you see a brother or sister, you just remind them, because we need that reminder. Someone's like, it is finished. Thanks be to God. This week, we got to celebrate at Abide, 7 people make a decision to follow Jesus to secure those things we just talked about. And it was just a beautiful night. It was awesome. There's great pictures out there of that. I have one picture that I particularly took because it marks kind of an emotional moment that I had. And actually, room packed, completely packed, worshipful moment, people celebrating in Christ. I mean, it was just this most authentic, beautiful time together. And, whole group of ages, a lot of folks just in their 20s, just pouring out their heart to God. And we talked about repentance, right? It wasn't necessarily this fluffy prosperity gospel. Like, here's the gospel, and let's tell you what you need. You need to repent. And, we're telling a bunch of young people that. And 7 of them repented. 7 of them turned to Jesus, and it was an incredible thing. I didn't actually get to be out here for it because I also gave the invitation if anybody wanted to share anything to come, and I was having a conversation and walking somebody through something, but I could hear just the roar of the crowd as each person went under the water, death, burial, resurrection to new life, and there was a celebration in this room each and every time that happened. When all the baptisms were complete, I'm not exaggerating when I say, I wish there was a video of this, I can't do it justice, you really need to come sometime and just take some of this in. There was just like a dance party going on. Like as a bunch of resurrected people were just celebrating the joy that they now had laid claim to because of Jesus. It was incredible. But the moment that I had as I walked through the coffee house that was once just this empty warehouse full of the owner's junk, you know, it was just basically a storage unit. And God led us to this place of starting Kala, all of which really the story of Abide came through. All of these things, God was out ahead of us working this incredible thing. And he pointed something out to me as I walked through the coffee house, and it was all of these wet footprints that just tracked through back there. And I'm like, yeah, amen. Only God could orchestrate something like that. And I have the same invitation to you that I have for them, and that is that you too can walk out of hopelessness into hope as you take those steps. And some of you have been waiting to do that, to finally make that commitment to say, I want to be buried in Christ and raised to new life. And I want to offer up an invitation. 2 weeks from now, I'm going to make sure that baptism is warm. We're not doing any ice baths, and it's going to be ready to go. And I want you to start praying about that decision to say, you know what, this is the Christmas. This is the Christmas where I stop waffling around and being half in, half out, and I finally take hold of the gift in the way that I was meant to take hold of the gift. And so some of you need to make that decision. I want to take a moment or two here and just offer a closing prayer. And you know, we can talk about vitality, we can talk about healing, but I want to spend a minute just doing something a little bit different. This is not something we do every time we're together, but I want to just, we're going to all kind of bow our heads, so this is going to be kind of a moment with you and the Lord. I'm going to pray, Sarah's going to come up and play here on the piano, but nobody's going to be looking around the room, it's just going to be you. I will look around in just a second here, but I want to offer you the opportunity to put up a hand if you fall into any of these categories as I pray for some specific things here, okay? I'm not going to pray for you by name as we pray, but I want to just lay out a category because I think there's probably a lot of us that fall into some of these same boats, and as you raise that hand, only I'm going to see that, and it's really just an acknowledgement. It's not even about me. I'm just going to acknowledge and pray for you kind of in the quietness of my own heart as well. But it's really just you and God to say, hey, God, I'm acknowledging that I'm right there, that I'm in that place, that I need healing and vitality in that kind of way, okay? So I'm going to let Sarah just kind of set a little bit of tone here for you to reflect and just meet God in this moment. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So nobody's looking around the room, just you and God. I want you just to put a hand up right now, just an acknowledgement. If you have some unresolved or undisclosed sin in your life right now. Put your hands down, I'm going to pray. God, we are sinners saved by grace alone. I pray for those that are sitting under the weight of sin right now, God, that your grace, your mercy would penetrate them to the very core of their being, that you would meet them in their heart, that as they say in this moment, Lord, come in, that you will come in and begin to take hold of the things that are in that back room, that you will take those things upon your shoulders, upon your weight, than they can envision right now. That you dealt with those things on the cross of Calvary. And yes, we acknowledge that is our sin, each and every one of our sins, that hung with you on that cross. So we say thank you, Jesus. We receive your mercy now. We say, Lord, we repent, we turn from those things in our life. And we just privately in our own moment, we declare what those things are to you. You already know. We're just letting you in that door. God, flood this place with your mercy. I want you to raise your hand now if you have been believing or just buying into some kind of lie. Some sort of lie that you're allowing to create. create a false script in your life, you can put your hands down. God, we know the enemy to be the father of lies. This is how he comes at us. This is how he disrupts the work that you want to do in us, is he just whispers those lies. And those lies are so crafty because they almost sound true. Half-truths is his game. God, I just pray that in the quiet moments now of their own spirit and heart, that they could speak that lie to you. Here's the lie. Acknowledge that lie. And God, would you speak truth to counteract that lie? Would you remind them that they are forgiven, that they are set free, that they don't have to live in the bondage? And somebody needs to hear this morning that they are already free. Don't let them live underneath the weight of the lies anymore, the lies that say that they're not enough, that they could never amount to anything. You are the truth speaker. Speak truth to us. Allow us to hear it. Allow it to guide us. If you're dealing with some kind of pain, tragedy, suffering, discouragement, I just want you to raise your hand right now. Put your hand down. God, I just want, as I'm seeing those hands, God, I'm thinking, I can just imagine you communicating that you see each and every one of those people. Not only do you see them from afar, but you stand with them amidst their pain, amidst the tragedy and the confusion, the questions that they might think are too big to even bring before you. Allow them to just sit in this place with honesty and allow your Holy Spirit to meet them. God, you are the Prince of Peace. And God, we are praying peace in us. God, would you show us how sufficient your grace truly is, that your peace is unlike any peace or relief or anything else we could run to in the world. I want you to raise your hand now if you're considering or wrestling with the decision to follow Jesus. God, we thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your pursuit of us. We thank you, God, that even as we drag your feet, you patiently walk alongside us, God. But help us to trust you, that you want what is best for us, that you have the best version of our life, the best version of our future and family. And God, I pray that you would speak to our doubts and our questions, and help us to know that we don't need to have all of the answers or all of those things resolved to take that step of faith. And that's what makes it faith, God. But it's part of the journey as we continue to grow and ask more and wrestle more, God. I thank you that you're big enough to handle all of those things, God. Help us to continue to step into a relationship with you and make that commitment. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd love it if you want to, you can do this. You can, there is a spot on our app where you can actually go and like respond like to a prayer, like, you know, I have a prayer for this. Finally fix it to where I can actually respond to you. For a while it was just like prayers coming, I was like, I couldn't respond to anybody. But if there's something that kind of was unearthed today, or decision or whatever it might be, that you would like some follow-up on, or some people to continue to pray for, again.